Hello, everyone. Welcome to my podcast, Confessions of an Actress. This is going to be a bare bones episode. There's going to be no music behind my voice. I sometimes do that. If you've followed this podcast since 2018, there's been many, many differences that it's gone through with music and production and things like that. But I am going to really dive deep because we are on the 99th episode. And I always said I wanted to get to 100 episodes with this podcast and kind of see where we are. And I am somebody who does dive deep. And if something isn't working, I shift. And I love that about myself. And I also am curious about why do I do that? Or why am I so connected to being successful? And we're going to talk about that this episode because maybe that's you. Maybe that's you, because if, you know, you're one of my listeners and you're in the theater world or entertainment industry, chances are you may feel the same as I do. But I'm coming at this episode from a place of examining myself, but also I listen to a lot of other podcasts, including the Mel Robbins podcast, and her latest episode really hit home to me. And I was actually going to do an episode about perfectionism anyway, or self-evaluation and digging deep. And I've been in therapy for years, and I also do my own, you know, digging and listening to things that are free, like a podcast and things like that. And I dig deep into reasons why I am this way. And this is part of being an actress for me. I really do have a curiosity about human beings. I always have. And I'm starting in my now late 40s to kind of sit back and even more so than I already have been observing people's behavior and wondering why that is. And it's harder to do with yourself. It's very hard actually to have perception of yourself, but I do have really wonderful friends and an amazing husband who will kindly tell me that I'm being hard on myself, or kindly say, why do you talk about yourself that way? Or why do you say that? And you have to stop. Sometimes my husband says, you have to stop saying that. And I get mad and I'm like, what? But the truth is when I sit down and I'm quiet and I really reflect on what he means or what one of my other friends who I love says, I go, you know what? I have to stop that. And I'll tell you what I mean, because we're going to dig deep. So self-evaluation really starts with it being open to it. Because if you're not open to it and you don't want to hear it, even when somebody says it in a kind way, you're going to shut it down and you're going to say stuff like, that's just how I am, or that's just, and then you're going to reaffirm it. And that's really, you can't even start if you're not there yet. So if you are thinking, well, there's something wrong with me, I don't know what she's talking about, this episode's not for me, it's not for you. So, but maybe there's somebody that you know, because a lot of times when you don't want to self-examine, you like to point the finger at other people and you tend to want to fix them. So maybe you'll start there. I don't know. But this is also just me confessing what's going on with me. And if it identifies with you, great. If it sends a ripple effect out into the world, even better. So I am curious as to my negative self-talk about myself. Why, first of all, do I listen more to negativity than positivity? And I found this out by listening to a psychiatrist on the Mel Robbins podcast. And he said, it's because of survival, because it's a human trait. We try to fix or try to pay attention more to the negativity because it's a survival mechanism. So don't do that again because that hurts. Or don't feel that way again, or don't go into that situation again because that's pain. And it's going towards a survival technique. So that right there makes sense. But perfectionism in itself is, I don't believe you're born with any of these things. I mean, yes, there's personality traits, there's mental disorders, things like that. But I was raised by a perfectionist, and I was raised by somebody who was a model to behavior, that she was never satisfied with anything. This is my mother. And since her death over a year ago, I've really, it's kind of strange. I thought I examined a lot of this, being living far away from her, noticing when she pays attention to me, noticing when she doesn't. Noticing those traits about her from afar. But when she died, it all of a sudden opened up. I realized, and this is going to sound terrible, but I said it because I was relieved because she wasn't in pain anymore. But I also was relieved because of the challenge of getting her to see me. That challenge was gone. And that need was gone. And I don't have the same need with my dad. I love my dad. My dad and I have a different, totally different relationship. But a mother-to-daughter thing, and especially when you have someone who is a covert narcissist like my mother was. And if you don't know what that is, go back to my Wellness Wednesday and I dig deep into covert narcissism. And it is a very hard thing to detect because they don't show that side of themselves to everybody. But my mom was very good at withholding emotion and withholding her attention and her love from you and giving it in spurts or giving it when she wanted to. It was a very kind of controlled thing. And I got all of my attention from my mom with accomplishments. I was taught from a very young age that I was getting attention from what I could do, not really who I was as a person. And that's very hard to unwind. And if you are a performer, it is probably, you know, a lot of people I know that it is a connection to that. There is a connection to attention, and there's a connection to it's something that your family did. Maybe you do that, or it's societal where everybody sees people who are famous and rich and they pay attention to them. So, oh, therefore I should be that because that's how I get attention. Ooh, it's really hard to unwind. And I've been curious about this for a while because when I became a mom and my attention shifted, meaning my attention shifted off myself and my career, and it shifted to my child, and it was really instantaneous. I stopped caring so much about my attention in the world. Yes, I wished that I had all this money because when you're trying to take care of another human, you know, it was a time in my life where I literally had nothing. I had no work. I had no insurance for the first time in my life. That's a whole other podcast episode. But I was really just so happy to be a mom and also really scared because I was realizing the gravity of this decision and bringing up a child in this world, and I wanted it so badly, and I am so incredibly happy to be a mom. I don't like to say it's an accomplishment because I don't feel that it is a good description. It is a legacy for me, but that also feels like a title. It's one of the most important things to do if it's what you want. But when I became a mom and I no longer had these accolades and a career that was thriving and I hadn't made it yet, and I'll say that, I'll explain what I mean by that. It's made it to myself. I wasn't rich and famous. And I grew up with a mother who was very, very attentive to that. And then also very attentive to me. When I got accolades, when I was in a show, when I was the lead. And I didn't have that anymore. And it was very hard to get her attention anyway. Even when I was doing all those things. But now I had none of that. And I was about to be a mom. So my attention was shifting. And I never really had a mother who was very mothering to me. She could show it really well, but it wasn't authentic. It's in the moments that other people don't see that you really feel the authenticity of that person. And it was something she just wasn't able to give. And I've wrestled with that, but I'm curious as to why I had this insane need to be rich and famous. Even with this podcast, I'm like, nobody's listening, no one cares. But it's a creative outlet for me. And it doesn't cost me anything. And I make excuses in my life. Still to this day, I just made one. I make excuses as to why I do stuff because I'm not famous or rich or it's not getting a lot of attention. And that circles back to my mother. And it circles back to trauma that I had with her and not getting attention for who I am as a person. So it then turned into me identifying myself and my worth with what I do. So let's go back to me being pregnant, having a baby, becoming a mom. I actually had, immediately after I had my first son, I had a guest starring role on The Good Wife, which was amazing. I was trying to figure out how to navigate it all. But I was like, oh my God, here I am doing what I dreamed of. I am a mom. I am also working as an actress. And isn't this great? And for whatever reason, because this business is fickle, that all stopped. And actually, prior to that, I did feel that my agents and my manager were stopping having faith in me. And everything was unraveling. And right before that, I had gone through a divorce, bankruptcy. I mean, I had been through the ringer, and I was clawing my way to try to keep my status and try to keep my people giving me attention, meaning my agents, managers, getting the auditions, getting back on the mountain of Broadway television, transferring over into being a series regular so that therefore I was, it just was constant. And in my own life, that person that meant the most to me from a childhood standpoint is the attention of a parent. And my dad was different. My dad was always easier. I don't know. It just, you know, he is also an artist. And even though my mom wanted to be a dancer, she never was. She never had the training, never even tried. My dad was in it. My dad actually was in it. And so he had this rapport with me that was very different than my mom. My mom was very, my dad can be withholding as well. Of emotion, they both kind of had that thing. But when my career went away, really, especially with my second child and our moving to LA, because let me tell you, Los Angeles for theater people, and I had had a lot of television experience, especially if you're above 35, I just didn't. This is my rule. This is not the rule. But I could not get arrested. I had been in those, I mean, I had tested for 12 television series as a series regular. I could not even get a commercial audition. I was at the bottom, living in a two-bedroom, two-bath, rinky-dink apartment in Hollywood, just changing diapers and breastfeeding and angry that my career was gone. And really in the thick of motherhood and trying my best to survive with a traveling husband who I was resentful for. No reason. He wasn't doing anything. He did nothing to me. I just wished I had that freedom again. And my life was completely flipped upside down and completely 1,000% changed. And I didn't have anyone to lean on. I didn't have a mother that checked in on me. I didn't have a mother who had the capacity to mother me and help me. And I'm not talking about physically. It would have been great, but I lived in LA. She lived in Northern California and had no ability. She made no ability to come help me. But also she wasn't there for me emotionally. And she never had been. And this is where I'm having the curiosity and the realization with listening to this podcast and coming back to a place of the basis of this episode is I had such a connection to my worth being my accomplishments. I didn't realize it until that moment where I was doing a really good job by myself. My husband was obviously not on tour all the time and was and is a tremendous father and partner. But I was shifting my whole life to being a mother of two young kids without a job, trying to survive, trying to find and make money any way I could, not being successful at that, and losing all of the attention and the accolades from everybody, really. I felt lost. I felt like I was forgotten. And it goes back deep to moments in my childhood where I was left at the dance studio in the rain or at school in the rain. Nobody would pick me up. And I say in the rain because those are the moments that hit me the most, was walking home in the rain from school and my mom forgetting me. And that moment in the kitchen of like pulling on her pant leg. And I had to have been, I mean, I was in elementary school because that was the school that was walking distance. And having her turn around and look at me, and I was drenched. And she went, "Oh, I forgot you," and felt bad for a moment. But it wasn't like she sat with me and consoled me or helped me dry my hair. She acknowledged me, but then went on with her day. And I say this to not be callous because my mom has passed on, but she wasn't capable. She really wasn't capable of being a mother. I was the youngest of four and the youngest of, or the one of the kids in the daycare. And she had a lot on her plate. But this is the kicker. And this is where I created this identity that I got the most attention from my mother and from everyone, really, when I got on stage. And that is so deeply ingrained in me that now in my 40s, I still feel that. It's why I have to remove myself from scrolling on social media sometimes, because I see other people being celebrated and remembering that that's when I was the most important to people, that I got the most attention. And my worth is connected to that. But I'm unwinding it. And this is the point of this episode, 17 minutes in, is you can unwind that worth and say, I am worthy without accolades and without labels and without a title and without being in the center of it all. And I still feel, this is an interesting thing, if you guys know me and you can Google me and look at whatever I've done in the business, I still feel like I never made it. Let me repeat that. I still in this day and age, with all the things that I've accomplished in this business, I still feel like I never actually made it. I starred on Broadway at 25, if you don't know that. I had Julie Andrews called Gary Marshall, and they wrote a role for me in Princess Diaries. Like, I tell these things to people and their eyes get big and they go, oh my God. I played opposite Tom Selleck and Candace Bergen on ABC's Boston Legal. Like, I've done some really big things. I've originated a role on Broadway. I'm on cast albums. I just don't know why I still have this belief that I haven't made it. And it goes back to my mom. That's what I mean, I'm not a psychologist and I'm sure it goes back to other things and societal things and all of it. But I really go back to the fact that my mother paid such attention to famous and rich people. And she would talk about this outwardly. It's memories I have of me as a child. Not so much my dad. My dad really didn't have this feeling of being unsatisfied with his house or unsatisfied with stuff that he had or things or whatever. My mom was very vocal about that. Literally up until she got sick, and was, even when she was sick, she still, I have a memory of her talking about, well, your father still hasn't done this with the house. And I'm like, oh my God, is anything ever okay? Is anything ever actually done? And I say this again to not bash my mother. It's that you can get in this pattern of nothing being good enough. And I go back to all the things like being a minimalist now. I still live in a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. I don't connect my worth. I try really hard not to connect my worth with not having a house, because people in the world go, oh, you don't have a house, or oh, you don't own anything. You don't own a property. You're not getting equity. Well, listen, I'm happy. I am trying to not connect that I'm not famous, or I don't have millions of dollars, or I don't this and that, with my worth, because it starts with what you hear in the home. And as a mother myself and my kids, and sadly, that seed has already been planted. My youngest talked to me about, oh, when we get a house and when we get a dog, I'm going to be so happy. And I go back and I say, sweetheart, be happy now. Don't be happy when, because all that stuff is outward. I said, you know, I had a friend who their dog just died from eating gum because the gum had xylitol in it, and that's toxic to dogs. This dog was young and healthy, got into some gum and died. And their young kids are devastated. So I sit there and I try to unwind those societal things and things that were told to my kids from outward, or they've heard it in the house. You know, we had a house we rented for 2 years in Burbank, and it's the first time I've ever been in a house as an adult. Was I happy in that house? Sometimes, not really, for other external reasons. But I just, the curiosity and the unwinding of these rules that we have, these rules and beliefs that we have, come from our childhood and come from a deeper place. And I really have been examining these for my own mental health, because I still have that need and that want to be famous and rich. And that's more because I want the security of that. But I have people who I know who are famous and rich, and they have other problems. They have other things that are, you know, people being friends with them or paying attention to them because of that, and never knowing who's really authentic and really a friend. That's really hard. And that's kind of something that you never can undo, because you're always known in the world. And what can people get out of you as a famous person? I don't know that I would have survived that mentally, because I had such a connection to a deep connection with my mother, and how she maybe would have treated me if I was rich and famous. I mean, that's a whole other podcast episode. And I think about somebody like Britney Spears, who just, you know, I haven't read her memoir, but I know that it's connected to a lot of her family pain with her being rich and famous and conservatorship and all of the things that happened, which, my God, I would never want that for my child or myself. As much as I would be like, oh my God, I would love to have had Britney Spears' career. Holy crap, to have been at the top of your game and all the opportunity and all that stuff that outwardly looks amazing, inwardly seemed like a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So what is my point of this episode, you guys? It is to hopefully shine some light on all of this for me, really examine it, because the one thing that you don't want to do is avoid the things that are painful, is to go back into those things that make you cry still and examine why and really iron it out. And that's something that you do with a therapist, with a really close friend. If you want to listen to some podcast episodes that are free, start examining that in your own life, because as an artist, if you're in the thick of it and you're in a place where everything is great and you're making really great money and everyone's paying attention to you, you're getting every audition, you're starring on Broadway or you're starring in something and you feel all of that happiness, examine what would happen to you if that went away. And I never did that. I never did that in the moment. I was just enjoying it all and actually climbing the mountain with, I was clawing my way up the mountain because I needed it so bad. And now I don't really feel that I need it. It's interesting. I am in a different place. Do I want a steady job that pays me well so I can take care of my family? Yes. And myself. Yes. But I feel like that is not, that is everybody, probably. As an artist, that feeling of accolades, or if you're an athlete, you know, you're somebody, I always go back to being an athlete. If you're identifying yourself with being in the NFL or being in the Olympics or being something like that, when that's gone, because those are fleeting, you're not in the Olympics forever. You can't. Your job or your ability to be an athlete at that level has a time limit. And then you go back to you. And what is you? Like, what? Where is that value? You have to build that up for yourself. And I have been doing that for the past 10 years because I was in such a place of jealousy, envy, wishing that I was doing that too, missing my old life, having such a connection to my value. And all of that, I had to unwind it. And thank God I have such an incredible partner with me who took on a lot of that pain, saw me, because his life didn't really, I say this in the nicest way, his performing life didn't change. It actually got better when he met me. That's what he said. We're his good luck charm. But mine went away. Mine almost completely went away for a long time. And I blamed everything else because sometimes that is just what happens to you. And I'm now in a new mindset of creating work for myself and other people. And it feels so good. The asking for money is not fun. I don't like it. But I also am thinking more of it more as a collaboration with other people and businesses. And we're lifting all each other up together. But you guys, it's a lot of work to do this kind of examining. And I don't recommend it for everybody. And I sound like it's all, as my grandmother used to say, hunky-dory to do it. But I've gone through a lot of tears and a lot of really low moments. And I don't share that on this podcast, meaning like you don't hear me going into these deep, dark places, but I have. And I've done it in front of people who are really close to me. And my husband has seen all of it. And it's been really hard for him to witness. I know that because I would feel the same. But that's what growing in this life is, growing together and growing as a human and growing as an artist. And I can't imagine doing it with anyone else. But doing that for yourself and really examining your self-worth is so important. And it's a hard thing to do. It's a really hard thing to do and also forgive. Because I would never be able to have this podcast episode recorded with my mom being alive. Let me repeat that. My mom was such a covert narcissist, and so she would have been so angry at me for revealing this on a podcast. And it feels so freeing to be able to do it. I would never have been able to really come to this realization without her being gone, and forgive her for it. I really do forgive her for that. She didn't know any better. She did the best she could with what she knew. And I was saying that when she was alive. I didn't say it to her because you kind of can't. But I had some deep, dark conversations with her, and it didn't go well for a while. You know, my dad didn't speak to me for a year because of things I said to my mom back when I was going through therapy. This is like in my early 30s. And it didn't go well. But let me tell you, the thing that really made me curious and mad was my mom and my dad, all of a sudden, everything was great. Right before opening night of White Christmas on Broadway, all of a sudden, everything was great. And they called me up and said they wanted to fly out and be there. And boy, that was a connection to success, wasn't that? They couldn't miss their daughter starring on Broadway opening night, but they missed the whole year prior to that where they weren't speaking to me. So I reveal that because all of that stuff I've had to forgive. And there's a little bite to it when I talk about it because it's amazing that that happened to me. And there's a picture of my mom and my dad and I at opening night. And my ex-husband's in the back. And I remember going through that really on my own. I didn't have a partner at the time who supported me in that. He was not capable either. But I don't like that picture of my parents and I. But we're so smiley and putting it on. Oh, we're all putting it on. But it's all this external, look at, I'm starring on Broadway and I'm wearing diamonds and I'm in a beautiful dress and I've originated a role on Broadway and here are my parents. And I am in such a place of, they are only here because they want to be a part of this outward celebration, you know, and I keep unwinding that as now my mom has passed and my dad's getting older and all these moments of like feeling my value is just that. It's an interesting journey, you guys. It really is. It's a really interesting journey to evaluate all of this. And I'm going to wrap this episode, this long episode up with that thought because these are things I haven't revealed before. And this podcast is called Confessions of an Actress. And it's had a lot of layers of that. But I really want to connect this to the mental health of you as an artist and us as artists and how we have to take our power back. Okay. So remember, have vision for what you want in this world, but be grateful for where you are, wherever it is that you are in your journey. I thank you so much for listening. Have a good one.